Good morning, everyone. Please take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 40 today. Genesis chapter 40 for our reading. I'm getting a little bit of a feedback there, Sir Greg. Thank you. Genesis 40, starting in verse 1. As we continue our series on Genesis. Last we saw Joseph, he was in jail for things he didn't do. Verse 1 says this, "Sometime after this, the cupbearer of the king of Egypt and his baker committed an offense against their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard appointed Joseph to be with them, and he attended them. They continued for some time in custody. And one night they both dreamed, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, each his own dream, and each dream with its own interpretation. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in custody in his master's house, 'Why are your faces downcast today?' They said to him, We've had dreams, and there is no one to interpret them.' And Joseph said to them, 'Do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me.' So the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph and said to him, 'In my dream, there was a vine before me. And on the vine, there were three branches. As soon as it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and the clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. Then Joseph said to him, 'This is its interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand as formerly when you were his cupbearer. Only remember me when it is well with you, and please do me the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh, and so get me out of this house. For I was indeed stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the pit.' When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was favorable, he said to Joseph, 'I also had a dream. There were 3 cake baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket there was all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating it out of the basket on my head.' And Joseph answered and said, 'This is its interpretation. The 3 baskets are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat the flesh from you. On the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all his servants and lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him." May the Lord add his blessing at the hearing and the reading of his word this morning. All of us have been through all kinds of things in life, all kinds of difficulties. Like you find out that the people renting the house you've just purchased won't leave the house, and now the sheriff's department has to get involved in evicting them so you won't be able to move into your new house for another 30 days. Or you find out that the building you've been leasing for your business the past 10 years is going to be torn down and turned into a parking lot for the city. And now you either have to find a new place to rent for your business or buy a new building. Or you come out of the grocery store from picking up some groceries and discover that your car has just been totaled in the parking lot by a little old lady who probably shouldn't be driving anymore. Or after being hired as the new accountant for your company, you discover that the company is out of cash and needs to raise $500,000 within 2 months to stay in business, and everyone is looking at you to solve the problem. Or your wife calls you in tears, telling you that something's wrong with her pregnancy, and it seems likely that she's having another miscarriage again. Or you discover that your dream house that you reluctantly had to rent out because of a job change has been destroyed by the renters, and now they are making legal threats demanding that their entire security deposit be returned. Or you leave everything for a new job across the world, making a 5-year commitment to work for them, only to find out that the opportunity doesn't have any resources to sustain you there. And after only 2 years into it, you're forced to move home to find a new position. Or lastly, you find out that all of a sudden your blood work comes back all messed up and something is terribly wrong and the doctors aren't sure what the problem is. All of us have experienced very difficult seasons in our life. In some cases, these seasons of difficulty can seem like an eternity. It's during these times that we can have a real sense of loss, abandonment, or wasted opportunity. For some, these difficult years can provide a very bitter memory. Some of us are experiencing bitter years even right now. But as Christ followers, how can we overcome the bitter years that God allows into our lives by His sovereign hand? There's so much that we can learn from Joseph's life. And today, like Joseph, we can keep serving others even when we are hurting. We can keep trusting God even when we feel abandoned. We can keep acknowledging God no matter what we are going through. And we can keep waiting for God's complete blessing. God has not forgotten you. We've gone back to the beginning in our series, studying the book of Genesis. In Genesis 37, a few chapters before, we began the last major section of Genesis on the life of Joseph. In chapters 40 and 41, we enter a dream sequence, if you will. Here we continue to see God's active work in Joseph's life as God is preparing him to serve and save his brothers from a coming great famine. It will be through Joseph that God's promised Redeemer is preserved through the seed that is in his brother Judah. Joseph has been sold into slavery by his brothers. And now Joseph finds himself in prison, having been accused of rape by his master's wife, something he didn't do. He's now suffering for it. And today we will see 4 spiritual truths about how we can overcome the bitter years in our lives. We all go through times of difficulty. For some, the times of sorrow and hurt can seem relentless and unending, and yet God is at work in our lives no matter what our circumstances. And He wants to help you this morning to be an overcomer even when you face great difficulty and suffering. He wants to help us to be victorious in life, even in and through the bitter years that God sovereignly allows into our lives. Before we study today, let's ask God's help. Would you please pray with me? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth that is your word. And Lord, we're longing to hear from you today. Some of us desperately need to hear from you today. So Lord, be our guide, be our teacher. Lord, open your word to us that we might understand it, that we might apply it to our hearts and lives appropriately, that we might see your handiwork with what you're doing. For you are always at work in our lives. Lord, help us not to miss anything that might be from you today. Thank you, Lord, for this brief moment that we have to study your word. Have your way in our hearts, we pray. In your son's wonderful name, amen. If you have your sermon notes outlined, here's the first truth for you. First of all, we can keep serving others even when we are hurting. Here's Joseph, who's now been thrown in jail for something he didn't do. He's been sold down the river, literally, into slavery, and now he sits there in jail. But while he's there, the truth is, for all of us, we can keep ministering to others. We can keep serving others, even when we are hurting, as we keep ministering to others. And that's exactly what happens here. The passage reads, sometime after this, the cupbearer, the king of Egypt, and his baker committed an offense against their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the very prison where Joseph was confined. Watch this. The captain of the guard appointed Joseph to be with them, and he attended them. They continued for some time in custody. He, that is Joseph, attended them. Better, we could say it this way, Joseph attended to them. The Hebrew root here for this word, attended, is shirat, which means to serve, to wait on, to minister to attend to. Again, when we are hurting and suffering, we usually don't feel like ministering to anybody, let alone someone else nearby. Here in human terms, Joseph has a huge right to complain because of his circumstances. He was thrown into a pit by his brothers, sold into slavery to the Egyptians, falsely accused of rape by Potiphar's wife, and then thrown into prison. But even with all that, he chooses to take care of his fellow prisoners. This is exactly how Jesus saw his life and ministry. Jesus says of himself in Mark 10:45, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Beloved, we can keep ministering to others even when we're hurting. Years ago, I was on a men's retreat, and I was rooming with a guy who had been a friend of mine for quite some time. His name was Ken. And here we are, we're rooming together, and we were part of the kitchen crew, and we were going to get up early and make breakfast for all the guys. And I didn't know this about Ken, but here we are, the alarm goes off, it's super early, you know, to go to the kitchen, we're going to make a bunch of pancakes and stuff for everybody. And I heard the alarm go off, and then all of a sudden I started hearing, and I was like, what is going on? Like, I thought something was dying underneath me. I was on the upper bunk, and he was down below. And come to find out that my friend Ken had severe arthritis. I had no idea. And he's on the kitchen crew, and it's taking everything for him to even just get out of bed to go make a pancake. But even while he was hurting, he was determined to serve. I had no idea why he would never complain about it. He'd never talk about it until that morning when I heard all the groaning. It's like, oh my goodness. We can serve, we can keep serving others even when we're hurting. We can keep ministering to others. But secondly here, we can see the needs of others around us. Notice how Joseph is understanding things here. In verse 5, "And one night they both dreamed," this cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, "each his own dream, and each dream with its own interpretation. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in custody in his master's house, 'Why are your faces downcast today?'" Again, oftentimes when we're having difficulty, we're focused on ourselves. We can't see the needs of others around us. But Jesus constantly saw the needs of the people around him, just as Joseph was seeing the needs of these men. He saw that they were troubled. "Why are your faces downcast today?" You recall Jesus many times when he would see the crowds of people. Like in Matthew 9:36, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. One time, Jesus finds out about his relative and friend, John the Baptist, who had been put to death by the Herodians with his head put on a platter, paraded around at a party. Jesus tries to go up the mountain to get away from the crowd and get away by himself to pray. But it says when he comes down from the mountain, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Again, that amazes me. Usually we're so focused on our own needs, we can't see the needs of others around us. Here, Joseph's got his problems, but what does he do? He's like, "Hey guys, are you okay? What's wrong? Why is your face cast down?" And I ask you, are you seeing the needs of those around you, even in your own family? We're often so busy wanting people to notice our countenance or our sad little faces and our neediness that we take no notice of the countenance or needs of others. But thirdly here, we can keep pointing others to Christ, which is exactly what Joseph does here in verse 8. They said to him, "Well, we've had dreams and there's no one to interpret them." And Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me." He points them to God. He points them, if you will, ultimately to Christ. Joseph could be resentful, but he is benevolent. He could be depressed and sullen, but he is eager and willing to serve. He could be despondent, but he is engaged. He could be inwardly focused, but he has a Godward orientation. He could be forsaken and dejected, but he is hopeful and purposeful. I ask you, are you pointing others to Christ even when you're hurting? But lastly, here in this section, we can keep sharing God's truth with others, for that's exactly what Joseph does. There's two dreams, right? Verse 12, then Joseph said to him, this is its interpretation. Remember the grapes, the clusters? He says, the three branches are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand as formerly when you were his cupbearer. Only remember me, it is well with you, and please do me the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh, and so get me out of this house. For I was indeed stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I've done nothing that they should put me into this pit. So when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was favorable, he said to Joseph, well, I also had a dream. There are 3 cake baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket, there were all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh, and the birds were eating it out of the basket in my head. And Joseph answered and said, well, this is the interpretation. The 3 baskets are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and hang you on a tree. Well, that's a bad dream right there. And the birds will eat the flesh from you. On the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all his servants and lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted them. God had blessed Joseph with this incredible ability to interpret dreams. The good news to the cupbearer, you'll be lifted up. The bad news to the chief baker, you're going to die. Even when the news was bad, he shared it. Don't interpretations belong to God, he said. Are you sharing what's true with people around you, even when the news is bad? Current trends, we see people trying to put forth a kinder, gentler gospel. A lot of churches don't talk about sin anymore. They don't talk about the wrath of God or God's justice. Was it too long ago, Kathy and I saw a billboard down in the Indianapolis area, and on it was a very famous verse, but it had been changed. You know the verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. Do you notice what was missing? They should not perish. Oh, that's kind of a harsh thing. It's a harsh sentiment. We don't want to put that in there. No, the world needs to hear the whole truth. There's a lot at stake here. It's life and death. Truth and falsehood. Beloved, we need to keep sharing the truth, the entire truth to people. We can keep serving others even when we are hurting, saying what's true, even when it's hard to say. But secondly, this morning, we can keep trusting God even when we feel abandoned. You can imagine how Joseph must have felt with all of this. Like, God, where are you? And when are you going to come help me? And I've been forgotten again. First of all here, the truth is this. God has not forgotten you. It doesn't matter what your situation is, what you're going through. He has not forgotten you. He has not misplaced you, not even the least. In verse 23, it says, yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Yeah, people will forget you. Even close friends will neglect you. Even family members from time to time will put you off. But God hasn't forgotten you. By the way, it's very easy to go into, you know, sad land, into melancholiness. No, woe is me. No one cares. He does, always. God has not forgotten you. Throughout Genesis, we have seen God's commitment to remember his people, like in Genesis 8:1, but God remembered Noah. Genesis 19:29, God remembered Abraham. And later, Genesis 30:22, then God remembered Rachel. And here again, God is going to remember Joseph. Even though you might feel like God has forgotten you or abandoned you, it is just not true. Years ago, I was a part of a musical group. And we had this one guy in our group who he really lived his faith by his feelings. One day, you know, he'd wake up and, boy, I just feel God's presence and I'm on fire for God. Next day he'd wake up and, you know, boy, where is God? I guess, you know, I don't have God today, and he'd just be Mr. Mopey guy. But the next day, oh, he's on fire. Let me tell you, this guy's faith is shipwrecked to this day. He's totally destroyed himself. Why? Because he was basing his walk with God on how he felt that day. Maybe you just got some indigestion. You know, I don't know what your problem is. Maybe you're just not feeling good. But if we base our walk with him on how we feel about things, I mean, think about that. That can't be how we live our lives. We must live off of what's true. Period. Don't live your life based on your emotions or your feelings. Base your life on what is true. The fact of the matter is God has not, will not forget you. You can keep trusting him. But secondly here, God will raise you up at the proper time. And for us, we're like, well, when? Because I got some problems now. No, wait for it. Joseph was going to have to wait. And that's what we see in chapter 41 as we move there now. And we haven't read this yet, so I'm going to share it with you. After 2 whole years, well, that's a long wait. 2 whole years, Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing by the Nile, and behold, there came up out of the Nile 7 cows, attractive and plump, and they fed in the reed grass, and behold, 7 other cows, ugly and thin, came up out of the Nile after them and stood by the other cows on the bank of the Nile. And the ugly, thin cows ate up the 7 attractive, plump cows. Well, that's weird. And Pharaoh awoke. And he fell asleep and dreamed a second time. And behold, 7 ears of grain, plump and good, were growing on 1 stalk. And behold, after them sprouted 7 ears, thin and blighted by the east wind. And the thin ears swallowed up the 7 plump full ears. Well, that's corn eating corn. That's weird. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. So in the morning, his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was none who could interpret them to Pharaoh. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, you know, I remember my offenses today when Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me and the chief baker in custody in the house of the captain of the guard. We dreamed on the same night, he and I, each having a dream with its own interpretation. A young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. When we told him, he interpreted our dreams to us, giving an interpretation to each man according to his dream. And as he interpreted to us, so it came about. I was restored to my office, and the baker was hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they quickly brought him out of the pit. And when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came in before Pharaoh. Beloved, God will raise you up at the proper time. God knows what he is doing, and we can wait on him. But that will take patience. That will take humility on our part. Peter writes in 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Is anybody anxious today? Will you cast all your anxieties on him? He cares for you. He's with you. He's not leaving. He's not going to ditch you. He's not going to forget you. He hasn't forgotten you. You can keep trusting God even when you feel abandoned. Thirdly today, throughout all of this, we can keep acknowledging God no matter what we're going through. How so? By giving credit to God in all things. This is exactly what Joseph does. He's going to give credit to God about these dreams. Verse 15, it says, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, I've had a dream and there's no one who can interpret it. I've heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Joseph answered Pharaoh, it is not in me. It's not me. Mm-mm. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. Do you see what he just did? He just gave credit to God. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, behold, in my dream I was standing on the banks of the Nile. 7 cows, plump and attractive, came up out of the Nile and fed in the reed grass. And 7 other cows came up after them, poor and very ugly and thin, such as had never seen in all the land of Egypt. And the thin, ugly cows ate up the first 7 plump cows. But when they had eaten them, no one would have known that they had eaten them, for they were still as ugly as at the beginning. Then I awoke. I also saw in my dream 7 ears growing on one stalk, full and good. 7 ears withered thin and blighted by the east wind sprouted after them. And the thin ears swallowed up the 7 good ears. And I told it to the magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he's about to do. Notice who's getting the credit here. Verse 26, the 7 good cows are 7 years, Pharaoh. The 7 good ears are 7 years. The dreams are one. The 7 lean and ugly cows that came up after them are 7 years. And the 7 empty ears blighted by the east wind are also 7 years of famine. It is, as I told Pharaoh, God has shown to Pharaoh what he's about to do. Do you see how he keeps giving credit to whom credit is due? To God. We can keep acknowledging God no matter what we're going through. Give him all the credit. In verse 29, there will come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, but after them there will arise 7 years of famine, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. The famine will consume the land, and the plenty will be unknown in the land by reason of the famine that will follow, for it will be very severe. And the doubling of Pharaoh's dream means that the thing is fixed by God, and God will shortly bring it about, Joseph said. He gives credit to whom credit is due. Verse 16, God will give. Verse 25, God has revealed. Verse 28, God has shown. Verse 32, God will shortly bring it about. Again, it's very easy to take credit for things that God is really doing. But Joseph makes it clear that what is going on is all about God. I ask you, with all that you're going through, are you proclaiming God? Are you giving God all the credit for how he's sustaining you and upholding you? But secondly here, by offering good advice to our enemies, how else can we endure? How else can we keep acknowledging God no matter what we're going through? We can offer good advice even to our enemies. Now that doesn't sound very intuitive. That doesn't seem very wise. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. This is interesting. The very counsel that Joseph is giving is the very counsel he's going to benefit from. Verse 34, let Pharaoh proceed to appoint overseers of the land and take 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt during the 7 plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh for food in the cities, and let them keep it. And that food shall be a reserve for the land against the 7 years of famine that are to occur in the land of Egypt, so that the land may not perish through the famine. His proposal pleased Pharaoh and all his servants. Notice how in this situation, Joseph is living in a hostile land, working within a hostile regime. But Joseph holds nothing back. You think maybe he'd hold a little bit back. No, he gives it all over. He gives all that he has from God, even to the likes of the Pharaoh of Egypt, a real potential enemy. Jesus reminds us in Luke 6:27. This won't be on the screen, but listen close. This is what Jesus says in terms of how we deal with our enemies. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. And whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you, Jesus says. Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you'll be the sons of the Most High. For he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. This is incredible advice, and this is exactly what Joseph is doing. I'm going to give you the full interpretation of things. I'm going to give you my wise counsel. Sadly, what happens in our culture is that someone offends us, so what do? We write them off. We ignore them. We snub them. I'd just like to remind you, you just never know how God might use your kindness to touch someone's heart for the future, even with kindness toward an enemy. And we could say, well, of course they don't deserve it, but quite frankly, you didn't deserve any grace either. Oh, that's right. By offering good advice to our enemies, and thirdly here, by letting people see Christ at work in us. Look at verse 38, because this is huge. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can you find a man like this? Pharaoh's kind of freaking out. Like, you've been in jail, falsely accused all this time, and this is amazing. You're an amazing guy. In whom is the Spirit of God? You see his conclusion? Surely God is in this guy. Can anyone say that about you? In whom the Spirit of God dwells? It's a tall order, isn't it? Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life now I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus calls us to be salt, the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We need to let other people know. We need to let other people see Christ at work in us. We need to offer good advice even to our enemies. We need to make sure that God is getting all the credit. How is your light shining right now? Is your light on, first of all? Do you have a light? Do you have a light from him? Is it shining? It's the light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. It's the light. Hide it under a bushel. No! You know the song, right? Who lights a light and then covers it up? That makes no sense. Are you still salty? Are you a savory influence in your relationships? Are you tasteless? Are you bitter? Are you hiding his light? Are you still salty? We need to keep acknowledging God in everything we do, no matter what we're going through. Letting people see Christ at work in us, offering good advice, giving God all the credit. Lastly today, I want you to see this. We can keep waiting for God's complete blessing. We can keep waiting for God's complete blessing. We could even say perfect blessing if we wanted to here. And as we wait, he will grant us wisdom. Look what happens in verse 39. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has informed you of all this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you are. All the wisdom, any wisdom that Joseph ever had was all from God. He will grant us the wisdom that we need to endure what we're going through. But secondly here, he will grant us opportunities to serve. And that's exactly what God does for Joseph. He gives him an opportunity to serve. I threw you in jail for a long time, and you waited patiently, enduring a great difficulty, and now I'm going to pull you out. I'm going to use you for amazing things. He will grant us opportunities to serve. Verse 40, you shall be over my house, Pharaoh says, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regards the throne will I be greater than you. You get the whole enchilada. I'll sit on the throne, but you're in charge, Pharaoh says. This is amazing. And Pharaoh said to Joseph in verse 41, see, I've set you over all the land of Egypt. He will grant us wisdom as we wait on him. He will grant us opportunities to serve as we wait on him. He will grant us favor. Notice what happens here in verse 42. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. Do you understand how huge this is? This is an Egyptian giving all authority in the land of Egypt to a Jew. Here's the ring. And clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. This idea of being clothed with the righteousness of God, this is incredible. The imagery is fantastic. And he made him ride in his second chariot, and they called out before him, bow the knee. Thus he set him over the land of Egypt. This is amazing. He was in jail, rotting away. And now he's in the finest chariot in all the land. And moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no one shall lift up hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zephanath-Paneah. And he gave him in marriage Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. So Joseph went out over the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt. During the seven plentiful years, the earth produced abundantly, and he gathered up all the food of these 7 years which occurred in the land of Egypt and put the food in the cities. He put in every city the food from the fields around it. And Joseph stored up grain in great abundance, like the sand of the sea, until he ceased to measure it, for it could not be measured. This is a huge bumper crop. The Lord will grant us favor as we wait on him. You guys, I remember when I saw this, the 30 years. He's 30 years old. By the way, something interesting, that's when Jesus started his ministry. But let me just tell you something. I was running a business, minding my own business, doing very well in Wisconsin, making a lot of money, doing great. And I was saying to myself, you know, if I had it to do all over again, I would have gone to seminary and I would have been a pastor, as if my life was over at age 30. Now, for the last 25 years, I've seen God do amazing things. Nothing's over. Incredible favor, blessing. Trusting him for all of it with what he's going to do and what he's doing. He'll grant us favor. Fourthly here, and this is it, don't miss this today. Don't miss this. He will help us overcome the bitter years. All of us have gone through them. Like I said, maybe you're going through something right now. Before the year of famine came, it says in verse 50, two sons were born to Joseph. Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore them to him. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For he said, God has made me forget all my hardship in all my father's house. Wow. He made me forget? Yeah. You know, sometimes we work on remembering things that are bitter. We work at it. We kind of coddle it. It's like, my precious. You know? No, God can take that away from you. He can free you from that kind of sentiment. The minor prophet Joel writes this, as God says this to the nation of Israel and vicariously to us this morning. Joel 2:25, God says, I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten. The hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army which I send among you. He can do that. I don't know what you've gone through. I don't know what your difficulties are. He can restore it all to you. I've said this many times in countless counseling situations where a person is sitting on something that's such a mess. And they feel like, boy, life is going fast, going by fast, and I think I've missed things, and I don't know if I can recover from this, but he can cause you to forget all the hardship. He can restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten. We can't really fathom that possibility, but he's God. And we just saw it in this very example with Joseph. Lastly, God is the one who make us fruitful in all of this. In verse 52, we read the name of the second son, that is, he called Ephraim. For God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. He caused me to forget my hardship, and now he has blessed me. He's made me fruitful. The 7 years of plenty that occurred in the land of Egypt came to an end. And the 7 years of famine began to come, as Joseph had said. There was famine in all the lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. When all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph. What he says to you, do. So when the famine had spread over all the land, Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe in the land of Egypt. Moreover, all the earth came to Egypt, to Joseph, to buy grain, because the famine was severe over all the earth. He'll make us fruitful. He'll give you a bumper crop if we'll just wait on him. As you continue to seek him, even when everything seems to be going the wrong way, he will make you fruitful. He will continue to make you fruitful. Are you waiting on God's perfect blessing? Do you remember all those illustrations that we started with? It was our first house that we bought that the renters wouldn't move out. It was my office building that was slated to be turned into a parking lot. It was my car that was totaled by the little old lady. It was me that got stuck trying to figure out how to raise $500,000 in 2 months for the church that had just hired me. It was my wife who was having another miscarriage. It was our home that was trashed by the renters. It was our church in Europe that ran out of resources and ended up sending us home 2 years early. It was my blood work that came back all messed up a few years ago and is now, by God's grace, back to normal. I'm not trying to boast in any of this, not in the least. I just know that the only way through it all has been for Kathy and I to trust a huge, big God who can handle anything and everything. And he has so. He has handled everything in amazing ways. Beloved, all of us have experienced very difficult seasons in our life. In some cases, these seasons of difficulty can seem like an eternity. It's during these times that we can have a huge sense of loss, a sense of abandonment, or even a sense of a wasted opportunity. For some, these difficult years can provide a very bitter memory, and some of us are experiencing very bitter years even right now. But as Christ followers, we can overcome the bitter years that God allows into our lives. How? Well, we can learn from Joseph here. We can keep serving others even when we are hurting. We can keep trusting God even when we feel abandoned. We can keep acknowledging God no matter what we're going through, and we can keep waiting for God's perfect blessing. God just has not forgotten you. We can serve, we can trust, we can acknowledge, we can wait. So now the question is for you all, well, how can I serve? What should I do? In what areas do you need to trust him even more? How can you acknowledge God even more with others? Are you yet willing to wait on him for his perfect blessing in his time? Would you please stand with me as we close our service today? Oh God, these truths speak to our hearts because we've all been there. We've all wrestled. We've all been through the gauntlet, the difficulty, the challenge. And Lord, we desperately need you. Lord, may we serve you. May we acknowledge you. May we wait on you for your good pleasure. May we trust you. Lord, we recognize in our own strength we can't do any of those things. We are so easily tipped over and unnerved, finding ourselves in despondency and grief and at points wanting to just throw in the towel and give up. But Lord, may that not be the case for any of us today in this room, knowing who you are and what you can do if we just trust you. Lord, if there's someone here this morning who's going through something right now that's really tough, Lord, I just pray that even now they would say, okay, Lord, you're it. You're all I've got. I need your help. Lord, I pray that even now that they would rest in you, that you wouldn't necessarily take away the issues, but you would lead them through the issues, which is exactly what happened to Joseph. He was in jail for a long time, and yet you never forgot him. So Lord, help us to know that you're mindful of us, that you love us, that you have something wonderful for us if we just trust you. Not only here, right now, as we walk with you, trusting you in all things, Lord, our future is secured with you in eternity through Christ. So, Lord, we thank you for this Christ-like example that we see in Joseph, who loved even his enemies for your glory, because you were purposing to accomplish something beyond what he could ever even remotely imagine. Oh, God, thank you. May we learn from Joseph. May we learn from your son. Thank you, Lord, for this time we could be in your word. Lord, it's my prayer that people here have been encouraged to keep acknowledging you, keep trusting you, serving you, waiting on you, Lord. Thank you. We pray this in your son's wonderful and precious name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you so much for coming. Have a great week.